long time ago in a galaxy not quite so far away. It was the night just after Christmas, and all was silent except for, well, a cow, a pig, and a donkey called Eagles.
Is that you? Woo! Am I glad?
Uh-oh.
Really glad for a bit of fresh air. I can cope with sharing accommodation with cows, pigs, donkeys, chickens even, but humans, woof.
Yeah, they honk. Now, I saw them arrive, but what you haven't told me is how they ended up in the stable with us.
Well, it goes like this. It was the night just before.
Hang on! Human alert! Eagles, do you know anything about this? Sorry, you were saying?
Where was I? Oh yeah, it was the night just after Christmas. And there was a young couple, and they were going to Bethlehem. They were going to be counted for the census that the king had ordered.
Counted? Well, that's odd. Counting people. I know how you count cows, but not people.
What? How do you count cows?
You use a calculator.
Very funny. Where was I? Oh yeah, there's the couple. I think the lady was called Mary. And I tell you, I don't like you into a bit of a secret. She. Massive.
Too many pies.
Not pork pies! No. No pies. She was having a baby.
A baby what? A little cute piglet? Or a teeny weeny lambikin?
No, you silly ass. Sorry, Eagles. No, you silly piggy ass. No, she was having a baby boy. A human being.
Oh, that's odd. Well, if she was having a baby, why didn't she go to hospital? Or check into a hotel? Or as you would say, a motel?
Well, to be honest, I just don't think they booked ahead. Silly, really. They should have just gone to www.mywifesheavilypregnantwithareallynicemidwifeinbethlehem.com.
True. Uh-oh! Look who it is.
Oh, no. It's not Donald Trump, is it?
No. Incoming innkeeper. Do you know what time it is?
No. What time is it?
I think it's your milky time. Ooh!
was really fast past your eyes. Get it past your eyes!
All right, Mildred, don't melt it. Silly moo.
Oh, well, it's all right, you take it a bit. It's not as easy as it looks producing milk, you know. I mean, if you don't get it right, you feel an utter failure.
Yeah, and I suppose it can be a little sore too.
Yeah, it can be actually sometimes.
Well, if it is, just let me know and I'll give you some ointment.
Oh.
Or some cow pulp.
So anyway, where were we? Oh yeah, there was Mary. Oh, what was the guy's name? Joseph. Yeah, he came. And they just had their little boy. Just put him in that little food feeding trough, just there.
Oh. How are we going to get our food now?
Well, I guess he just brings it round or something. About as much as I know for now.
Well, where did all the other people come from? Iggles? Do you know anything about this? Donkeys.
Hang on. I remember there was just some shepherds just over there watching their flocks by night or something. Bear with me. Just go and see if I can find one of the sheep.
Sheep, where's the normal one?
She is at the barber's.
Hi there.
Hi.
What's your name?
John.
Well, we've got a few questions for you.
Have you got any wool?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How much?
3 bagsful.
Very good. Right, we need some information. What we want to know is if you can explain how come all those shepherds brought you to the stable.
Well, 'twas the night before Christmas and we were all doing our own thing like normal, you know, chomping on a nice bit of Nazarene sod, when suddenly the sky was filled with, angels, I think you call them. I've never seen any before. All singing praises to God. It was pretty impressive. Anyway, they told us about a baby that would become the saviour of all mankind. And I think that includes us as well. But I did overhear one of the shepherds saying that it pretty much depends on your theology. Anyway, they told us that we need to go to a stable in Bethlehem and see for ourselves.
And so what did you do?
Well, at first I didn't think our shepherds fancied it. I thought they must have been barking mad not to go, you know, barmy. But anyway, they did go, and here we are. Oh, it were a pig of a journey. Sorry. I mean, it wasn't a very straightforward trip. Anyway, we're here, and it's true, a real baby. Really, in a stable, sharing his bed with you lot. Oh, and one more thing.
Look out. Here comes trouble.
What is he going to do with that bucket full of stuff?
I reckon it might be tea time.
Oh.
TV last night about sheep, but it left me puzzled. How do sheep keep warm in the winter?
That's easy. The
natural bleaching, of course.
Well, that's how the shepherds got here. Very knowledgeable sheep, don't you think?
Yes, yes. But that's wrapped up the shepherd's mystery for me. But I saw these three weird-looking blokes arrive from the east.
One Direction?
No. There are four of them. They were important, official-looking.
George Osborne, Jeremy Corbyn, Boris Johnson.
No. More like King.
Well, how did they get here?
I don't know. I think I saw a camel knocking around somewhere. Let me go and see if I can get him to talk to us.
Well?
No, no good. He won't come out. I think he's got the hump.
I think we've all just about got the picture anyway, haven't we?
Yeah, but there's one thing still missing for me. It's how Mary and Joseph travel so far to deliver the most unusual of packages. I mean, they must have had some form of transport. They couldn't have walked all that way.
No.
Fantastic. Well, did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
They were pretty good. Who likes the donkey? Yes, me too. Okay, fantastic. Well, why don't we just give them all one more round of applause? I don't know. I don't know about you, but there's certain events, there's certain things that take place, and it seems that there are standard sets of questions. So it's a while ago since I was in this position, but when you have a baby, there are standard questions that everybody asks, aren't there? First of all, the baby's name is very important. Second, always, don't know quite why it's so important, but we all need to know the baby's weight, don't we? That's true, and there's probably medical people around who will tell me exactly why that is such a key piece of information. But we all have to ask it, don't we? And I think this may be another thing where the ladies are better at remembering than the guys are. But we men, we know that that is one of the questions that we need to ask. Seems to me that the third question that people always seem to ask, in my experience, we've got two children, for those of you who don't know us, who are a little bit older now, and it's all a bit of a dim, distant memory. But one of the things that people always used to ask is, when are you going to have another one? And it always seems to be one of the standard sets of questions. Why do people ask that? At that point in time, it's really the last thing that we're thinking about. The obvious answer is never again. I think that's one of the things that people often say. And I don't know about you, but around Christmas time, I think there are other standard sets of questions. If you're like me, you work in the office, one of the things that people always seem to ask is, what are you doing this Christmas? Is that right? Do you have that same conversation? And people often say, oh, and where will you be this Christmas? They often ask that, don't they? One of the other questions is, who are you going to be with this Christmas? And we asked a few people, just the general public, a slight variation on that question. We said, who would you like to be with you this Christmas? And this is what they said.
I've got to say Leo my message so he can help me get better at football and teach me some skills.
I would say Lionel Messi as well, so he could teach us how to score goals in like the top corner and bottom corner.
And I agree with both my sons. Lionel Messi would be an absolute star to come and visit us in Ravenstead.
I would like Freya and Racing.
Brilliant.
Racing.
Maybe.
I can
learn
from
them. Oh yeah, Elsa and I.
Justin Bieber.
Jesus.
Rudolph and his family. If I'm honest, just why not?
Got it. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, Princess Leia's a really good one. I think for Christmas I'd like the Liverpool football team. They need a lot of support this time of the year.
Yeah. I'm thinking Melchior. Either him or Father Christmas.
I'm just dead. What about you? Barney Rasky and Lindsay. The Blue Peter presenters.
She says, oh, by the way, there's a crackle. So there's a few answers to that question of who you would like to be with, who would we like to be with us this Christmas. Did you notice, is Joseph still here? Yeah, Joseph's just hiding at the back there. There's some of the answers were, perhaps, I'm not saying that they weren't all heartfelt, but did you notice that Joseph's answer, he was a bit quiet, but he said, to be honest, I'd just like to be with my family this Christmas. That's what he said. And yeah, I think that deserves a little round of applause. And I, of course, I don't want to embarrass you, Joseph, but just in case. So perhaps at Christmas, the most important question is not who we would like to be with, but it's who came to be with us. In the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 7, Isaiah, the messenger from God, is speaking into some very dark times. And he says to the people of Israel, look, the virgin will conceive a child. Just think about it. A virgin will conceive a child. That's impressive or impossible or both. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the people have been waiting for a very long time, waiting for the Messiah God to turn up. There was a great deal of expectation and anticipation, and in many ways, desperation. And a couple of chapters further on in Isaiah, he points to the future again. In chapter 9, these very famous words at Christmas time, it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And the writers of the Bible go to great lengths to connect that promise or prophecy, to use the Bible word, with the arrival of Jesus 700 years later. What was predicted then is coming true in the story we read about at Christmas. And of course, the animals have helped us wonderfully with the story this morning. And this promise is spelt out when the angels came to speak to Joseph. In Luke chapter 2, we read this. Joseph, the angel, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It had been promised, and now it's happening in Jesus. And to the shepherds, a similar message says this. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I'll bring you good news that you will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. So we have Isaiah declaring 700 years before, and now the writers of the New Testament, in this case Luke, saying, this is that was promised before. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The promise that Jesus was coming was being fulfilled and now has been fulfilled. And yet, this message transcends and travels through history and now comes to us as a promise that's relevant to each one of us today. Did you know that? A son, Jesus, given to us. So I don't know who you're expecting to be with this Christmas, but know this, God's promise to be with us is still true today. She will give birth to a son and we'll call him Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. And what a difference it makes to know that God is with us today. And my message is very simple and yet life-changingly, that is a real word, profound. If we pause for a moment, we can realize how powerful this message, God with us, is for us today. No matter how dark your situation or how difficult your circumstances, whatever is going on in your life right now, the truth is, God is with us, God is with you. And this God is a God of engagement. He's a God who wants to be close to us, a God who's come to help us, a God who's with us, a God who is close by us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. It's up close and personal. You know, no other religion or philosophy promises the presence of a personal God with us right now. It's all just history. But Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, is with us right now. One commentator puts it like this. The good news is that the God who is with us is a God who wants to turn our darkness into light, our conflicts into peace, our loss into abundance, our despair into joy. If a God like that is with us, this is good news for all eternity. Do you agree? Let's be really clear right now. This message, God with us, is really true for each one of us right here today. If we were going to do a test this morning, then for some of us, we might say, I believe God existed in history. Tick. Then some of us might say, well, I believe that God is somewhere in the world today. God exists and he's somewhere in the world today. Tick. But the truth is, would we say, I believe that God is right here with me right now in this place, in the Ashwood Centre, famous throughout the land. Right here, right now, God is with us. So when you're at your Christmas party, the truth is God is with you. When you're travelling to visit family over Christmas, God is with you. When you're lying awake on the concrete floor in Kirkby Town Centre on cardboard and with a sleeping bag, God is with you. When you're lying awake, thinking about a loved one, a job prospect, a relational challenge or difficulty, God is with you. And sometimes this is one of those messages which we talk about at Christmas and at other times in the year, but how does the theory affect the reality in our lives? I found myself, as I was thinking ahead to this morning, walking down the corridors at work in the office, saying, God is with me. God is with us. God is with us. And maybe as we leave this morning, we take the opportunity over lunch or in the car just to have that conversation with each other or with yourself. That's perfectly normal. Speaking to yourself is not the first sign of madness, I don't think. I think it's a perfectly sensible thing to do. Or am I just trying to validate my own life and existence? But the truth is, God is with us. And of course, if God is with us, this is only good news if God is good. Some people tend to think of God as a kind of celestial Ofsted, just waiting to check up on us, maybe to judge us, or I'm sure all Ofsted isn't critical, but there is a sense sometimes where that can be the case. But the God that we're talking about here is not an angry headmaster, he's not a disapproving father, but he's a loving heavenly father who wants the best for us. He's for us, he's not against us. And if that's true, then God with us is actually great news. For many of us, we decided that we also want to be with him. I think it's almost, it might even be a year ago today, that Vanessa, who some of you may recognise if you look under the mask, was actually Shaun the sheep. Vanessa arrived in one of our Ashwood meetings, and she couldn't explain why she suddenly felt different. She couldn't explain the something that was going on inside her. And we said to her, well, this is the presence of God. And since then, many of you will have heard some of Vanessa's stories. She was baptized, and has she made a choice to follow Jesus. She experienced Emmanuel, God with her, a year ago at Christmas. And she's got a great story of God with us. And perhaps this morning, just to make this really, really clear, just want you to think for a moment. If you had a piece of paper and a pen, then perhaps this morning we do a little quick illustration of what this looks like in practice. And I would say to you, perhaps you identify an area in your life. Maybe it's a problem, a challenge. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a financial situation. And just want you to write it down, or if you're not writing it down, just think for a moment what that situation may look like. And then I want you mentally just to draw a circle around it. Everybody doing this? I can tell if you're doing it just by looking at your face. Zach, can you do it, please? Thank you. Okay, it's a big circle. So you've got this thing, circle. And then if I ask you the question, where on this mind map that you have in your thinking, where is Jesus right now in terms of that situation? So draw another circle. Write the name Jesus somewhere in your mental map this morning. Because I don't know where you wrote the name Jesus, but many of us often are happy to think of Jesus as being close by. But the truth is that Jesus is right with us. The God with us, right with us in that situation. So we don't need to have two circles that are separate, because Jesus is right there with us. And in fact, God with us means that there's nothing that can separate us from him. Listen to what it says. I don't think this is on the screen, Stephen. It says in Romans chapter 8, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us, because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. What a wonderful truth that God is with us. Have you got the message this morning? It's straightforward, but it's life-changingly profound. And if Jesus is with us by his Holy Spirit, right here, right now, today, interested in us as individuals, then who is he? Who is this Jesus? Well, some of the clues were in the part in the passage that I read right at the start. Remember Isaiah? He said that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Four very different things. Just take a moment just to contemplate those four things, because if Jesus is with us, then names are often so very important. So if Jesus is, first of all, Wonderful Counselor, if in your life you need guidance, need direction, we need advice or wisdom, then normally or often we can turn to a counselor, can't we? Often we'll go to someone who has experience in a certain area. And Isaiah is saying here that Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Now if you compare that to a rubbish counselor, what would a rubbish counselor do to help? Not a lot. In fact, often if you go to a rubbish counselor for help, you end up in a worse place than you were before, don't you? Bad advice, unhelpful comments. But when we pray and we ask for these things, then he is wondrous. That's another translation. The other translation is Wondrous Counselor. We come to him, we ask for advice and guidance and wisdom, and he gives them to us because he's God. He's the sum total of all knowledge. All wisdom is found in him. All guidance is found in him. All direction, all truth, all insight, everything is found in him. He knows everything about everything. And listen to this, he's never wrong. I know some people who think they're never wrong. But with Jesus, he's never wrong. He knows everything about the past. He knows everything about the future. He's the wonderful counselor. He knows all things about everything. And that's pretty good news. Is that a God that you would like to be with you this Christmas? Secondly, Jesus is Mighty God. This gives us glimpses of his power and his strength. The technical word here is omnipotence, if you want the technical word. Total power can also be translated. The other translation for this is mighty warrior, and represents Jesus as the invincible champion of the oppressed, the one who fights for his children. Think about that. The God who is with us in Jesus is the God who fights for his children. And if God is for us, if this is the God who is for us, the mighty warrior, then the Bible says, who can be against us? He breaks the power of sin in our lives. And he can do that because he's powerful, he's mighty, he's the mighty warrior, and he's with us. Number three, Jesus is, tells us in Isaiah, Everlasting Father. We've seen his wonderful counsel, seen as something of his power. But Everlasting Father is a very different image, isn't it? Very different picture. This is a position of embrace. There's a very famous story in the Bible, isn't there, about a father who cared so much for his son. His son left home, insulted him, basically said, I wish you were dead, took his inheritance, went off, squandered it, found himself feeding pigs, realized that even the servants in his father's home were treated better than he was being treated there and then. So he set off back, wanting to become a servant again of his father. And in the story we read in the Bible, I love this, it says the Father sees him when he was a long way off. There's the sense that the Father was out looking for his Son. And the Father ran towards him, embraced him, kissed his Son. That's the love of a Father. That's the love of our Father in heaven. And it's another part of God with us, everlasting Father. You know, some of us are comfortable with a God who is clever. Some of us are comfortable with a God who is powerful. But we also need to be comfortable with a God who is our Father. And finally, number four, Jesus is Prince of Peace. The word for peace here, shalom. Hebrew word which means the cessation of hostilities, but it's much more than that. It talks about health and harmony and wellness. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I give to you," but it's not like the world's peace. You know, the world's peace is based on circumstances. They're good one day and then in a mess the next. The peace that Jesus is talking about is the peace that lasts forever. This Father who wants to embrace is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. He comes along and he brings peace in whatever situation. And this morning, do you need peace? Do you need reconciliation? Do you need freedom from anxiety? Do you need well-being? Do you need settledness in your soul? Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and that's part of God with us as well. So the God with us, the most wonderful counselor, a mighty warrior who can battle through anything, the Father who is everlasting, and the Prince of Peace. And as we remember the Christmas story, of course, Jesus didn't just come to live with us. His purpose was actually to come and die for us. And because of his death and resurrection, we can, through his Holy Spirit, not only have eternal life with him forever, but also the power to live for him here on planet Earth. And I don't know, maybe this morning you're here today and you've never really connected the message of Christmas, God with us, and your life today. And of course, there is always that invitation that the God who is with us, we can say, "God, I want to be with you." So this morning, as we draw to a close, why don't we close our eyes for a moment and have a moment of praying? I'm just going to be quiet for one moment, just allow you to have your own thoughts. My prayer is this morning that each one of us leaves this place with the words ringing in our ears that God, the God of the universe, the Creator God, is with us today. Closed. I'm just going to say a prayer, and this morning, if you're just sat thinking, "I've never connected the story of Christmas with the reality in my life," I'm just going to give a very simple opportunity for us to pray a prayer together that invites Jesus to come and be a part of our lives, of my life, of your life today. So what I'm going to suggest is I'm just going to say a few phrases, and we'll say this all together in our response this morning. And if afterwards, if you're praying this prayer this morning for the first time, then it'd be great to have an opportunity to talk to you and maybe pray with you and have a conversation with you afterwards. We're going to pray this. Let's pray it all together. So, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. Thank you that you are God with me, now and forever. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together. Conclude our meeting this morning as we worship this Jesus, this God who is with us. It's great news, not just at Christmas, but especially at Christmas. Thank you for being with us this morning.